Foss v. Nature's Pillow, 083480. Mr. Witter.
No, may it please the Court. Brian Witter here. I'm actually representing myself in this matter. And I think it's a fair place to start to note that my most dire predictions, if the court below didn't take jurisdiction and take charge of this matter and actually enforce the judgment, have come true. And a kind of wildfire of collateral litigation has ensued in the state court.
I'm a little curious. How did you go from asking for a third of the total attorney's fee in front of Judge Block to now demanding one half of that total? How did you get there? Because you told Judge Block that you'd gone through the hours.
It wasn't a third, actually. It was more than that. That was based on time.
But it's a different figure.
That's
based
correct,
on time
because that's what the judge awarded me.
Grade. Sorry for talking over you, but it was based on the usual factors, and then you went from that to now wanting half. How did you get there?
Because that's what the order gave me.
What order?
The June 23rd order, which was docketed on the 24th.
Doesn't it have the three lawyers' names?
It does.
It turns out the check was made out to your opponent's firm and to you, not the order.
Well, I think the way you look at that, which I've stated, and I stated to the court below as well, is that Mr. DiTommaso and Mr. Lubin are effectively are a unity. And that the check tells you that.
Is that what the order said?
No, the order has the three names. The check has the two names.
So how do you go from what you asked for in New York to what you're asking for now? Because of the check. Aren't you really asking to modify what Judge Block ordered?
No, I don't think so, Judge. I think that the order and the check compel half. And the only other option that one could argue, and I said this to the court below, and I've said this all along. There are two issues. You can say I get half, or you can say I get a third. I agree with that.
Why either one of those?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it follows at all. Okay. You have a check payable jointly. That doesn't tell you what the proportions are.
Mm-hmm. The approval
That's
order.
That's just an erroneous theory of yours, as it seems to me.
Yeah, the approval order says nothing about the allocation of fees.
In fact, he
made it clear he wasn't deciding the allocation of fees, that he wasn't even going to do that. I mean, so how can you ask us to make that leap, that it's a third or half or whatever? He specifically said, I'm not allocating fees.
Well, I think he did allocate fees, and I think that once the order.
I mean, how can you say that?
I can say it because once the order becomes final, there's nothing else you can do with it. So the option is, it seems to me that there seems to be no option.
Well, he says, it's not for me to decide how the money should be distributed. That is a separate fight. The two of you are fighting. Why can't I make the check out to the two of you and you fight over it whichever way you want? I will not get involved in deciding whether you, Mr. Witter, is to get $105,000. I mean, the court couldn't be more clear.
Well, that's correct, but I mean, I think
at that time. Oh, I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead. Go ahead.
At that time, he knew about the Illinois action already pending, and even made reference to fight this out in Illinois.
Right. I understand that perfectly well, but
me and didn't read to me in your briefs like you understood it at all, mm-hmm. to the point that I'm concerned whether you ought to be sanctioned for pursuing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judge, that what happened is the order itself became final.
Well, so what? Mm-hmm. You keep saying that in your brief every five pages or maybe every two pages, but I don't see what's the relevance of that statement or why that decides anything.
So my position is it's a final judgment.
Right.
So
plus,
what?
Yeah, and plus, you don't even have any. You don't have any authority to support your position that just because the three names are on the check or the two names or whatever it is, and you get a court order that says I'm not doing the allocation, that somehow we can make that big leap that you're entitled to half or a third. you have no authority either. So you don't have any legal authority. The record is totally against you.
Judge Block clearly acknowledged a dispute you and the other two have that has to be litigated, but not in front of him.
So I'm to take this order, mm-hmm. by this logic, I'm to take the New York order, and how do I get it to a state court to overrule it or to modify it? That's what I don't understand.
You have a contractual dispute with the folks at the other table, and you litigate that, mm-hmm. and there's no federal jurisdiction over that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even if it's a final order, and it's a judgment that I can register, and that I ask Judge St. Eve to take care of.
She can't.
Okay.
This is a dispute. You go back to the Illinois State Court. Go right back to DuPage County, the 18th Judicial Circuit, where the deck action was filed, the declaratory judgment and injunction relief.
Your former client may have a judgment of dismissal. You don't have a judgment for attorney's fees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
but since that's... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Judge St. Eve tried to tell you that.
No, I understand what she tried to tell me, and my view of it is that if you have an order, and the order becomes final, that it's a judgment, just as it normally would be a judgment in any other case under the federal rules. It allows me to register it. It allows the judge to take note of it, and it allows the judge to, which would have been very easy for her to do. She could either have divided it, or she could have either have divided it three ways or two ways. That's all I'm saying. I don't understand what's complicated about that.
Well, there's nothing complicated, mm-hmm. but she can't do it. I mean,
mm-hmm. she has no authority to do it.
She has no basis for making that determination.
But if the order is brought, Judge Williams, if the order is brought before her, well, I don't understand why she can't act on the order.
Because there's nothing to support it. Because the judge in New York didn't decide the allocation. If the judge in New York had said, okay, Mr. Witter gets 10%, everybody splits it up, okay, with DNL, then there's something for her to enforce because she sees, oh, here it is, he gets 10%. Then she can enforce it. But there's no allocation made by the New York judge.
I understand. My position is that the order itself makes the allocation, and the order and the check make the allocation on their own. I mean, if you have three names, you have one amount. You have a division. If you have two names on the check, you have a division. Those are the two possibilities.
And maybe that would fly if we didn't have all the statements by the court saying, I'm not doing an allocation. Maybe that would fly. I'm not saying that would fly either. Okay. But maybe you certainly would be in a better position than you are now when the court says specifically, I am not doing this.
Well, can I respond to that, Judge?
Sure.
Okay. Here's what, as I understand the rules of finality and the Supreme Court cases under 1291 and what you need to do when you have an order, if you want to modify the order, you have time limits in which you can do it, and the transcript and what the judge I interpret what the judge said quite differently. I think that he declined to further adjudicate it, and I think a declination to further adjudicate the fee issue freezes it in time. Once it's not appealed, that's my position. I don't think, and if you take the logic of the suggestion that you can continue on forever to say, so in other words, the logic of their position, in my view, is this: I could take that transcript of what Judge Block said in 2015 and come up and say, oh, but you see, the judge said this on the transcript. Now, it's not in the order, you see. So I don't believe that you can take a judge's comments outside of the normal appeal period or outside of whatever you have in order to reconsider an order and come back years later, drag it into a state court, and say, well, oh, by the way, the judge said this. And he said, oh, we didn't really make an allocation. I interpret it quite differently. I interpret it as a declination to further adjudicate the matter. And so then it becomes frozen in time once it's not appealed. I think it's perfectly logical to me under the rules and under the Supreme Court precedent. In fact, the language...
Why does that make it an allocation? I don't follow your... You know, just because the judge didn't do something, he didn't allocate. Nobody allocated. You want it to get allocated, you got to find a judge with jurisdiction to allocate it. And that judge is not here, as far as I know.
All right.
My time's up. Thank you.
Mr. Lubin?
Yes, may it please the Court. Peter Lubin for DiTomaso Lubin. Judge St. Eve correctly decided this case. No judgment exists for Mr. Witter. Does the Court have any questions?
Nope.
I would say, just add one thing about this wildfire, though.
You may talk us out of something.
Yeah, if you want to talk us out of it.
No, I don't want to talk you out of anything. I just want to mention that in the state court, there's a whole host of proceedings. There's a mandamus now in the Illinois Supreme Court, and this thing really has gotten out of control. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lubin. The case will be taken.